It's the end of 2020. Are you bitter or are you better? Just wanted to take a couple of quick minutes to kind of close out the year, or focus a little bit on what's important, at least what's important in my mind. You may completely disagree with me, and that's okay. But for right now, I just have to ask, are you bitter or are you better? Been reading through the book of Exodus, and one of the things that always seems to stand out to me is, why were the Jews so bitter? You know, if you start looking right around Exodus 14, we see the crossing of the Red Sea. We see that God has literally just parted the waters in such a way that they were able to walk across them without any problems, walking as if they were walking on dry land. And yet when they get on the other side, they start complaining to Moses right away about, why'd you bring us here? We're just going to die out here in the wilderness. This is all your fault. And then it goes on. And, you know, they start complaining about the fact that they had no food to eat. So God provides manna from heaven. Then they start complaining about they have no water to drink. So Moses gets water literally from a rock for them. They don't know where they're going. So then they literally have the chance to follow an angel and follow the Holy Spirit to where they're supposed to go. They don't know what they're doing. So God leads Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai to give them the Ten Commandments. But apparently he was up there too long, and they get really annoyed about that. And so they decide that, you know, hey, Moses is all cool and all, but Aaron, we need something to where we can, like, take control of the situation and maybe worship something on our own. And that's the weird thing. They decided that they would gather up, and Aaron fully supported this. He knew where Moses was. He knew what Moses was doing. And yet, he sends everyone out to gather up all their gold. They melt it down, turn it into this golden calf, and it's as if they're trying to solve their problems by taking the solution into their own hands, but now they're going to worship something that they created. This golden calf hadn't parted the sea for them. The golden calf had not provided food for them or water for them or anything else, but here they are. They're sitting and trying to worship something they could see, something they could touch. And, you know, just trying to create a solution in their mind because they just couldn't understand the rest of it. And they couldn't apparently wait. Now, it seems to me one of the things that keeps popping up in all of this is how bitter they were. It's like they were angry that someone had come along and rescued them out of slavery. They were mad about it. I mean, literally, they're all kinds of ticked off because Moses had the audacity to kill the guard who was beating one of their own half to death. They're all ticked off because Moses brought the 10 plagues at God's encouragement to save them, to give them freedom. But they were so comfortable in their misery that they missed being miserable. I couldn't understand this. I couldn't wrap my head around it until 2020. In 2020, I have seen more people more than happy to just be miserable. They're happy and content to be told what to do, how to do it. Please, sir, just tell me, do I need to wear the mask when I walk into the restaurant and not wear the mask when I sit down, sir? Oh, please, sir, can I have a $600 payout after you've completely destroyed my business, my livelihood, and my ability to go and worship in my church or go eat at my favorite restaurant or even go and work out at the gym? Please, sir, may I have another? Somehow, an entire society, an entire nation has become a group of masochists, grateful, begging for the opportunity to be beaten down some more. personally, I don't understand this. And then this all started to come together for me. It's like they're bitter. They were okay. They're okay in being miserable. They're okay in having someone else or something else to blame for their failures or for something not working out. You see, because if the business fails right now, well, they can say COVID. If they lose their job, they can say COVID, not the fact that they were about to be fired because they were terrible at their job. If they just got a minimum amount of pay that they could, you know, feed their family and sit back and watch some TV and be entertained, that would be all right. They're okay being almost slaves. The Jews during the time period of Exodus were so just caught up in being slaves that in that level of discomfort, they found comfort. And I've met quite a number of people who, as we have approached the end of the year, who, man, it's like Debbie Downer on steroids. I just sit and talk to them and they drive me crazy. I'm just sitting and listening to all of the misery and they're almost bragging about how miserable they are and how much they, you know, no, my misery is worse than your misery. Look how miserable I am. I'm just like, wow, is this really something that we want to compete over? I don't think so. Because one of the things that I think should be the lesson from the Jews is the whole idea that their Savior was right in front of them the whole time. God, the creator of the universe, cared about them so much that He defied the laws of physics, the laws of nature, all for them. He provided food, He provided water, He provided shelter. He provided 10 simple rules upon which to live, to have a happier life. And they still couldn't do it. They couldn't put up with it. They wanted it worse. That was just too simple. And I have to sit and wonder, because I'm someone who, I didn't become a Christian until later in life. I started out as a Buddhist, and before that I had no faith or belief system at all. I was a raging atheist. I was angry at God all the time because, you see, I was abused. I had been abused verbally and physically, and I had been abused sexually. And all these things had absolutely wrecked and destroyed my childhood. And I was bitter. And I realized that I would come back time and time again, just desperately trying to seek from the individual who was doing the majority of the abuse, their approval. I started working in emergency rooms and I started seeing lots and lots of broken spouses and broken children. They too just wanted the approval of the abuser. They didn't want to taste the freedom. They didn't want to move on from it. They were desperate because somehow what was right and what was wrong was twisted now. The same seems to be true now in 2020. So many people are so upset and so distraught and broken because of what's happened as a result of government restrictions and everything else from COVID and governments overstepping their bounds. But at the same time, they seem to like it to the point that you have people that we've nicknamed Karens because they're more than happy to turn in their neighbor or their friend or the person down the street because they're, heaven forbid, not wearing a mask. These folks make no sense to me. I find it incredibly confusing. And at the end of the day, I think one of the funniest things in all of it is that they seem to enjoy now having some level of power, some sense of bizarre power. And the power that they seem to have gotten was the chance to be a snitch. to be a we used to call him a narc when I was a kid. The whole idea of, snitches get stitches apparently has fallen by the wayside because these folks are so grumpy and upset at the person who's daring to live freely and walk around without a mask on. And I realized then, oh, they're suffering from envy. The only way to deal with the envy is to try to squash whatever the person has. Places like California, the sheriff in LA County was bragging about how many people he had arrested for mask violations. And in fact, he didn't want to talk about how the crime rates had gone up, the murder rates had gone up, burglary had gone up, violence of person on person had gone up. We're in a situation now around the Seattle area where cops don't even bother responding now because they're not going to get any kind of a backup. The prosecutors won't even prosecute the crimes. Everything's turned upside down, and there's this whole bevy of individuals who are like, "Yes, that's wonderful. Bring on more suffering. This is great." I just want to slap them because it's like they're insane. They've lost their mind. But they seem to be quite content in this suffering. They're almost enjoying being bitter. That's no way to live. I'd rather be better. And what do I mean by that? Better is focusing on what you do have, focusing on the things that are great about your life, all the blessings. What are you content about? One of the funniest things about COVID is that all the distractions were stripped away. Hollywood couldn't make any movies. You couldn't just Netflix and chill, so to speak. All the sports were shut down. And everyone, movie theaters were shut down, all of it. Everyone all of a sudden had to be at home with their families. And the funny thing is that I've heard some really amazing stories of how close some families have gotten as a result of this because the distractions are gone. I've heard some incredible stories of how so many individuals have finished a degree. They enjoyed being online school. They found out their kids did really well in this. So many folks have started to rediscover old hobbies and habits and passions that they had lost over the years because of so many distractions. People started taking up learning new languages, music, the arts. They didn't have time to do it before, but they could now. They needed something else to do, and it's just amazing how that's come about. And a lot of people have actually learned how to be a bit more content and grateful for even being able to be in church, to hear a sermon, no matter how bad it might be, to be with their friends, to have a certain level of fellowship. Children having a chance to get together and play. Adults desperately seeking a moment to try to just even hang out. Trying to find other like-minded individuals who don't live lives filled with fear. And I guess that's where I come down on all of this. Because I know who my creator is. And I know that no matter what, heaven forbid I catch this stupid disease, but even if I die, I know where I'm going. But since 99% of individuals will survive this disease just fine, I don't understand the fear. It's not like it's Ebola, where you have a 96% chance of dying. You have a 99% chance of living. But people are scared. The media and all the panic porn has whipped them up into some kind of strange, deluded world of, "Please, Mr. Government Man, save me." I was around when Ronald Reagan identified that some of the scariest words you'll ever hear are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." And we find out that people like Dr. Fauci may have, oh, I don't know, fudged the numbers. You find out that maybe this new vaccine isn't as great as they hoped it would be. Even more so, there are a lot of people that have no desire to even take the dumb thing. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm saying just get educated about it before you make that decision. But at the end of the day, at the end of the year, as we close out 2020, what I really hope for people to do is take a moment and really focus on what was great about your life. Can you focus on the blessings? I got to give my wife full credit. She came up with this new idea to abandon the whole concept and premise of New Year's resolutions, because I'm sure that you, like me, am one of those people who could probably just cross out the year and write a new year, because we didn't even finish out last year or the year before's resolutions. But instead, she said, and I'm not, she may have borrowed it from somewhere else, I don't know, but the idea of focusing on just one word for the year. What will yours be? She identified hers was gratefulness, to be grateful more for everything. And I had to sit and think, you know, would the Jews during the time of Exodus, would they have been in a better position long term had they simply started just being more grateful for what God was doing for them? To me, it's just sad that they never really saw or ever really listened to what it was that God was trying to tell them in that beginning time period. I think that there's a chance that God has the chance to work in your life, but only if you're open to it. As we close out 2020, would you consider picking a word that really allows you to experience the triumphant celebration and the glory of having a grateful heart, of being grateful for the blessings in your life, so that no matter how small, no matter how little they might seem, for you, they should be your treasures. Thanks for listening to me. Have a happy new year. And for all of you in this crazy Sasquatch nation, God bless.